This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 358 and three quarters, up 6 1/4. December corn, 369 and a quarter, up 7. March corn, 382, up 7 1/4. August soybeans, 1232 and a half, up 17 and a half. September soybeans, 1095 and a quarter, up 21 and three quarters. November soybeans, 1079 and a half, up 21. September wheat, 544, up 9 3/4. December wheat, 564 and a half, up 11 1/4. March wheat, 583 and a half, up 9 1/2. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois cut to grain prices did end higher on Monday afternoon. Soybeans were boosted by good weekly export inspections and export sales, with corn strengthened by dry soil conditions. In northern and western Illinois, cut to grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 8 cents higher at 348 to 366. Soybean bids up 21 to 23 cents at 1226 to 1248. In central Illinois, cut to grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 6 to 7 cents higher at 338 to 367. Soybean bids up 11 to 33 cents at 1221 to 1249. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 8 cents higher at 355 to 371. Soybean bids 18 to 28 cents stronger at 1198 to 1260, and the wheat bids mostly 9 to 10 higher at 445 to 504. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids up 21 cents at 1245 to 1280. Basis unchanged, range from 165 to 200 over November. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 428.20 to 438.20, which was 70 cents per ton higher, with basis unchanged, range from 40 to 50 over the August. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 6 cents stronger at 366 to 389, with basis steady, range from 7 to 30 over September. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 373 to 383. Basis steady to 1 cent lower, range from 14 to 24 over September. Soybean bids ended mixed on Monday, ranging from 1203 to 1270, with basis ranging from 123 to 190 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents higher at 385 to 389. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 12 to 18 cents, with quotations at 1210 to 1278. Soft red winter wheat up a dime at 496 to 510, and Milo 7 cents higher at 389 to 420. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 331 to 342. New crop soybean bids 1040 up to 1058. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids at 329 up to 348. New crop soybean bids 1026 up to 1064. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 333 up to 349, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 1049 up to 1066. That completes our grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 158.22, up 92 cents. October live cattle, 156.22, up 22 cents. December live cattle, 156.32, down 10 cents. August feeder cattle, 220.97, up 70 cents. September feeder cattle, 220.67, up 77 cents. October feeder cattle, 220.35, up 65 cents. August lean hogs, 117.07, down 95 cents. October lean hogs, 103.62, up 80 cents. December lean hogs, 95.35, up 95 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 4th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $3.22 lower in a range of 109 to 119. with a weighted average carcass price of $115.68. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mostly steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 80 to 88, 4 to 5 weights 84 to 92, 5 to 6 weights 88 to 93, and 600 pounders and up were 90 to 97. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $82 to $86. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,174 head, and from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 183 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $127.82, and that was 50 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $263.22, and that was 9 cents higher, with select carcasses at $258.03, and that was 9 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 113,000, that compared to 108,000 last week and 116,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 337,000. That compared to 392,000 last week and 366,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. August corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.69. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.46. August corn delivered to Scottville, $3.60. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.46. August beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.30. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.58. August beans delivered to Scottville, $12.19. September beans delivered to Scottville, $10.58. August wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.47. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $3.69, corn at Scottville is $3.60, beans at Greenfield are $12.30, beans at Scottville are $12.19, and wheat at Scottville is $4.74. The USDA has announced that farmers should start receiving notices updating them on their current base acres, yields, and 2009 to 2012 planting history. The written updates are an important part of preparing agricultural producers for the new safety net programs established by the 2014 Farm Bill. Verifying the accuracy of data on farms' acreage history is an important step for producers enrolling in the upcoming Agricultural Risk Coverage, or ARC, program and the Price Loss Coverage, or PLC, program. Later this summer, farmers and ranchers will have an opportunity to update their crop yield information and reallocate base acres. By midwinter, all producers on a farm will be required to make a one-time unanimous and irrevocable election between price protection and county revenue protection or individual revenue protection for 2014-2018 crop years. Producers can expect to sign contracts for ARC or PLC for the 2014 and 2015 crop years in early 2015. If you have questions, you can visit www.fsa.usda.gov or your local FSA office for information about FSA and the 2014 Farm Bill programs. The 2012 Census of Agriculture holds many unique facts. Researchers at the University of Illinois have been digging through the numbers to find some of these facts. Todd Gleason reports it seems an old adage is borne out by the figures.
There were about 75,000 farms in Illinois according to that census when it was taken by the USDA. The census, by two different measures, acreage operated and value of production, suggests the majority of Illinois farms are small by either categorization. However, there are two interesting facts that flow with these categories. The smaller the farm, the more likely it is to produce livestock of less total volume. And the larger the farm, the more likely it is to produce crops, mostly grain and oilseeds, of much greater value. Well, the Census of Agriculture defines a farm as any place from which $1,000 or more of agricultural products were produced and sold, or normally would have been sold, during the reference year, in this case 2012. The census classifies each farm's production specialization based on the North American Industry Classification System, or NAICS. A livestock farm is defined as any farm from which the majority of farm sales are from the production of beef cattle, feedlots, dairy, hog, poultry, sheep, or animal aquaculture. A vegetable, fruit, tree nut, or horticulture farm includes farms that primarily produce vegetables, melons, fruit and tree nuts, greenhouse, nursery, or floriculture. And the final category, crop, includes oilseed, grain, tobacco, and other crops. Of Illinois' 75,087 farms, 77.3% could be classified as crop farms. However, more than 95% of the farms that span 1,000 acres or more are crop farms. In contrast, livestock farms account for 19.6% of all Illinois farms. While less than 5% of farms operating more than 1,000 acres are dedicated to livestock production, livestock farms account for 34.5% of Illinois' farms with fewer than 50 acres. For Illinois' smallest farms, those occupying fewer than 10 acres, 53.1% are livestock farms. Therefore, the majority of small farms are livestock farms. Another interesting observation that can be made with respect to the distribution of farm size is that while the majority of Illinois farms are small, large farms account for the majority of the total value of agricultural production. About half of Illinois farms span more than 100 acres. However, all of the farms with fewer than 100 acres produced only 6.6% of the state's $17.2 billion in agricultural products in 2012. A popular rule of thumb in business is the 80-20 rule that states roughly 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. For example, it is often suggested that in agriculture, 80% of the commodities are produced by only 20% of farms. The 2012 Census of Agriculture provides some evidence in support of that notion. In 2012, 20.4% of Illinois farms operated more than 500 acres. However, these farms produced 76.2% of the total value of production. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
In order to support a large crop this year, we're going to need a transportation system that's up to par. I spoke with Jay O'Neill, senior agricultural economist for the International Grains Program at Kansas State University, about our nation's infrastructure and how it will directly affect farmers everywhere this year. Right, and with those large crops, we're running out of storage more quickly than we would like. But in order to get them out of storage, you need to be able to move them. So it seems like we have those two problems converging, especially with some rail crop movers saying that they're short on cars.
Yes, they're short on cars, and we're going to have a severe situation, I'm afraid, come this harvest in September, October, November of this year. What's the best thing a farmer can do right now? And I'm afraid to say the best thing he can do is put up storage. Find a way to store grain, because unfortunately we're not going to be able to move the full volumes that we would like to or need to quickly. And that's going to cause logistical snafus and the need to have grain stored back closer to origin.
And exacerbating the problem, we have locks and dams that are expiring or even past their expiration date. We have some that are 50 years old, and what's the expiration date on a lock or dam?
Well, the normal expiration, at least they were built with a 50-year lifespan expectancy. Thank God they've lasted 75 and 80 and 90 years, far beyond their initial life expectancy, but it shows that they used to build them pretty good. I guess that old adage, they don't build them like they used to, but they're still getting old, and we have locks and dams that need to be replaced, not just maintained and repaired, and then we have a lot of repair work to do.
And with corn getting below $4, this is becoming a rather serious problem for farmers.
Yeah, farmers don't like that for understandable reasons. It's gotten below $4 on the futures basis. Futures market basis is dropping, and transportation cost, rail cars and barge, is going to impact the basis levels for farmers, and I'm afraid exacerbate some of those low prices and give less money in the farmer's pocket than he would otherwise be able to receive.
And that brings us to funding. We need funding to get everything up to date and provide more transportation, more efficient transportation, so that we can move these large crops more easily.
We definitely do. We need to have Congress continue to act to fund the Riverway. Some of that Riverway Improvement Fund has already been released, but more of it needs to be released. And actually, it's one thing for Congress to pass an act or a law allowing something. It's another thing to implement the actual use of those funds. And that's what we're fighting right now, is getting the funds out for projects and getting those projects done in a timely fashion. And then, of course, we have the railroads that have to add more track space, as well as more locomotives and more rail cars and more crews. And they're working heavily and quickly on that. It's just going to take a while. You can't do that overnight.
And then on the opposite end of things, we seem to have very large ships in ports that aren't capable of taking them.
Ships are getting bigger. Everybody is going for bigger is better and bigger is more efficient, and there's certainly a truth to that. But we don't have, we will be able to load here in the United States slightly larger ships once the Panama Canal is expanded. We're not going to do a lot of what we call Capesize ships, which are 110, 130, 40,000 tons per ship, because most, with the exception of China, most of our buyers just don't have ports that can handle those bigger ships. That's not a problem. We can handle Panamax-sized ships, Handymax-sized ships that can go from 30,000 to 60,000 tons. But we need to get that grain to the port in order to load those vessels.
Again, that was Jay O'Neill, Senior Agricultural Economist for the International Grains Program at Kansas State University. Many county fairs put on a youth livestock auction to support youth involved with the 4-H Foundation. But this year, some funds raised at the Bond County Youth Livestock Auction are going to spread beyond those selling their 4-H projects. Lincoln Siebert is in his last year of 4-H, and before he sold his pen of rabbits, he announced he would be donating the money they brought in.
This is my last year. You can only do it 10 years, so I decided to donate the money to the Allison Langham Foundation.
His rabbits sold for $1,650 for the Allison Langham Scholarship Fund. The fund is in memory of Allison Langham, who passed away in 2004. Siebert gave his reason for wanting to donate his auction winnings.
I grew up down the road from the little girl who died, and she was in 4-H, and she was a year older than me in school, and this also would have been her last year in 4-H. She was in a four-wheeler accident. And a couple years ago, I was in one too. However, I was luckier than she was. But riding four-wheelers is something I enjoy, and it's something I think you should stay safe doing.
As for the purchasers of Siebert's rabbits,
Her family purchased them. I've worked for their auction company for years, so it kind of kept it in the family, which is real nice.
Siebert also took some time to reflect on 4-H as his last year comes to a close.
I think 4-H is a great thing. There is much more than just animals, and that's what kind of people have started to kind of believe, that it's only for animals, but there's so much more out there that 4-H can provide for a young individual to get them started in life.
Lincoln Siebert is currently attending Greenville Community College. Again, Siebert sold his 4-H rabbits at the Bond County Youth Livestock Auction for $1,650, with the promise of donating the money raised to the Allison Langham Scholarship Fund. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besch. Thanks for tuning in.